Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Some of the weather we're having at the moment, not all of the weather we're having at the moment, but some of it, it does mean that we have been spending more time in the garden. And here to tell us more how to make most of our outdoor space for the rest of the summer is gardener Mary Staunton and garden designer Trevor Kinsella. You're both very welcome.
Thank you very much.
Lovely to have you with us. So I just want to talk about good design, Trevor, first with you, because we talk all the time about gardening, but it's getting that bit right first, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do you think that's the most important bit?
It's key. It's the basis. It's the fundamental. It's the foundation of a good garden. It's just to get the design right from the start. Mm. And from there, it can always be added onto. You can add in plants, features, whatever it is. But the initial design, the initial layout is where it all starts.
And it doesn't matter how little space you have outside.
No. Like, we see lots of different small gardens,
balconies.
Yeah. Balcony gardens quite big at the moment. Thing about balcony gardens, it's normally you have your living space, you have a big glass window, and you're right out onto the planted area itself.
Yeah, you know, we don't even have to go outside, really, to bring the outside inside. You can plant inside as well, can't you?
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, you're taking your outside space, your interior plants, marrying the two of them together, and you've created just a wonderland.
So it feels like you're outside, even though you're still sitting inside.
Yeah, yeah.
What about the trends then? Because there's always trends with all of these things. What are you looking at the moment? People are asking you
for
what?
I suppose in terms of trends right across all different sectors, in terms of hard landscaping, there's been a big move away from concrete products. People are choosing more natural stone products. We have concrete being in the top three of CO2 emissions. So people are choosing.
So people want to move away from that, do they?
Move away from concrete. They're going for more natural stone, limestone, sandstone, granite, slate, quartz.
Does that come with a price though, Trevor?
There was a time, I suppose, when concrete products would have been maybe a little bit cheaper, but they're around the same price now, maybe more expensive, you know? And a lot of stuff is Irish as well. We've quartz, slate, granite, paving and walling. Popular is porcelain at the moment. See a lot of porcelain.
Fancy.
Very fancy.
Very nice. Yeah, yeah.
So, Mari, is it helpful for you that people have a vision if you're going in at a startup level? Yeah. Do you need people to know what they want before you start?
It is helpful.
In the
because, and it, you have to look at their lifestyle as well. And, you know, we were just talking earlier, you start off as a couple and you think this is going to be marvellous and going to be entertaining outside every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Mm. And then 2 years later, a couple of kids come along and you're no longer really outside. The dog is outside, the basketball hoop is outside and the trampoline is outside. So your entertaining space has kind of evolved into a trampoline.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to look at where you are in your life, how you're going to use the garden and where you're going to sit in the garden. We were just talking about shade and sun and where's the best place to position a patio. Take your chair out, sit in a corner, have a look at where you want to sit. And if it's directly in the sun, nobody really wants to sit in full sun eating and having a meal. So slight bit of shade. So have a look around the garden, see where the sun is setting, see where the sun is rising, and use your space accordingly. And then when a designer like Trevor goes in, you need to say to him, I have this amount of money to spend. What can you design for that? It's so helpful when they do that. And this is what I like. Maybe you have some photographs of what you like. That helps the designer to know you a little bit better, doesn't it?
Yeah,
and then
course,
you can
yeah, yeah.
implement the design then.
Yeah, but you can put in the foundations or the shape of something. Like, you don't have to do all of this in one fell
swoop. It doesn't all have to be done from the word go. You know, there's the basis. And like what Mary's saying, sit in a particular corner of the garden. It might be where you think the space should be. Maybe it's the complete opposite side.
Yeah.
But get that right from the start. Get your pathways right, your planted areas right. And you can always add in then your features, your water feature, your planting maybe, outdoor dining area, kitchen, you know.
Is there a bit of conflict between the designer and the gardener? Because by the time it gets to the gardener, there's no money left for the plants.
Well, that's it. That's, you see, I'm a great believer in, you start off with the big things. The, you know, trees are the backdrop to a garden. They are the scenery. And we were talking earlier about people cutting down trees, you know, behind them, behind in another space, maybe in another garden. That's borrowed scenery. In some, I mean, Leylandii, okay. I mean, we don't, none of us really like Leylandii. But borrowed scenery helps to mature your garden. And then you add in your trees. If you put your trees in first, they have a chance to mature while you're saving another few bob for landscaping.
Very
or
often, a garden can be designed around a tree.
Yeah,
you know, kind of whether it's a tree in the distance.
Yeah.
That's a vista. It's a view. Maybe the seating area is looking out on that. Mm-hmm. So use it
to frame what you're doing in your own garden.
Yeah, yeah.
And do a lot of people have privacy as a major concern, especially in urban areas, Trevor?
Yeah, like it's nice to have that private space. You'd be surprised. Some people want to, you know, talk to the neighbours every day over the wall. But having a private space in the garden, and you don't have to screen off the whole perimeter of the garden.
Mm. So how do you do it then?
Well, there's a number of ways. You can always go down. You can have a sunken patio, which is going to give you that little bit more kind of privacy.
True.
Screen off maybe just that small patio area rather than screening off the whole garden.
Mm-hmm. Because you can feel very enclosed. It can almost reduce your space if you're doing all of that screening, right?
Of course, yeah. And maybe you have a lawn that you need some light getting into, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So be clever about your screening
or a spalier. You know, you don't have to have a mature tree along a fence. You can have espalier trees, which means they're trained to grow
lollipop kind
horizontally
of shape.
Or lollipop shapes or whatever. But you know, that's where you're getting your bit of privacy from. So they don't have to be out in your space. They can be back, but as a backdrop.
Yeah. Okay.
Beautiful.
I have a question from Chloe in Dalgany, which relates to that. So they got three pleached evergreen oak trees. Does that mean that they expand outwards? Right.
Yeah.
Last May to offer some privacy in our brand new development, which is overlooked on all sides. But the leaves of the middle one keeps turning brown. The nursery replaced the tree once in November. They won't replace it again, though. The two on either side are fine. They have green leaves. Any idea what's wrong or tips as to what to do? Is the tree dead?
You'll always have, you can always have in a situation like that, a weak seedling or a weak tree.
But this is the second tree now.
Yeah. So there is a problem somewhere in the soil underneath that tree. It could be so close to a patio where the lime from the patio is leaching into the actual where the tree is planted.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of people would plant along a patio and they'd use bleached trees or that sort of thing. So it can be, maybe there's a bit of lime.
A runoff of excess water from a neighbouring shed.
Well, now she gives us more information, which might be useful. So she says, have you any other tips for their one-year-old garden with a sodden, boggy lawn?
Yeah.
The children are covered in mud when they play on it, even in the summer. So that's what's going on.
Yeah,
it's compacted somewhere.
Too much water there. It's built up and it's just sitting under that one tree, possibly, you know.
See, sometimes, and this is absolutely not anything to do with you, Trevor, but sometimes when builders are building your garden, they're thrown in a whole load of rubble at the end, and that causes when they throw grass seed down, and that's when you need Trevor to come in and give you advice on why that's happening. You'll get a runoff of water down to that area. It can't go anywhere because there's a whole load of rubble. It's just sitting there lying on top, and that's where you get that really kind of murky, muddy space. And you're blaming the kids.
Water's quite lazy. It'll always take the easiest path. So if you do have that rubble, it'll just sit there and pool and gather, you know.
Chloe might have a big problem trying to fix that now.
You will, yeah. So, well, it you can put in a thing called a French drain, which will drain off that water, but you have to find why that's actually pooling. What's the cause, first of all? But I would suggest it's major compaction there. The water can't get away. So it might be a case where you do put in a French drain or something like
and
that.
And it might be sitting under the middle oak tree, which keeps going brown.
Exactly. Yeah. So there's a lot of reasons for, I mean, a lot of trees like adequate water. Acers like nice bit of water, but they don't like to be sitting, their roots don't like to be sitting in water.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's very few kind of trees, birch trees maybe, but that like that sort of lifestyle.
Alder,
But you can't, yeah.
Okay, sorry, Chloe. It looks like you have a bit of a problem there.
You need to investigate.
This is a bit simpler. Snails eating leaves on my rose bushes. What can I do? Yeah. Mari, that's for you.
A lot of people go out and they pick them off at night. When I can think of better things to be doing of an evening now than going out and picking them off. But yes, they this time of the year, plenty of rain, so they're all out, little baby ones and all. So you can do, you know, you can throw lots of chemical at stuff, but if you can just hang back a bit and think about what you can put on the ground to stop the snails getting as far as your plants. So eggshells, you know, that sort of thing. Things that they don't like to go over. So they don't like that rough kind of ground to go over. And beer traps. I would, I've done a lot of beer traps and really, you know, rubbish beer. You don't have to put your best beer out, you know, keep that for the Friday or Saturday.
Something simple that I tried recently was some copper piping.
That's good,
you know, you get your from your plumber store and just kind of surround the plants.
But they don't like copper.
They're not big fans of copper, so they won't climb over it. So, yeah, it works. You know.
Yeah, there's a copper tape you can put around the top of pots and they kind of sizzle a bit when especially when it's raining.
This listener has a small north-facing garden with no grass, just patio. Actually, this is a good one out for you, Trevor. Mm-hmm. To the front, there's a small south-facing patio. I miss the fact that I've no grass. I don't really need it, but I'd like it. So should I try to plant grass on either side? And which would you recommend?
So, yeah, like with a north-facing garden and trying to plant grass, you're really up against it, you know. But at the same time, if you... remove the soil that's there, bring in maybe a sand soil substitute that's going to give you good drainage. Even below that again, you could put in like a geotextile fabric and some drainage pebble. So you're giving it the best chance of
drainage.
So you
can do it, but it's a bit of hassle.
It's a little bit more work. It's a little bit more effort, but it can be done, yeah.
Because this person goes on to ask, can I also ask, would it be sacrilegious to put down AstroTurf rather than real grass?
A lot of people are using.
You don't like it, Trevor?
Using fake grass.
It does have a function, I suppose, you know. Mm. Not the environmentally best option, but it you know, if you have three kids and they need a space to run around and you have a small north-facing garden, if AstroTurf is it, yeah, you know, okay. it does have a function.
And what if that person wanted some nice blooming flowers now in the north-facing garden? Is there anything that works?
Yeah, I mean, hydrangea petiolaris, we have it on the side of our house and it flowers beautifully. In fact, it's gone romping around the whole way now. So north facing doesn't mean you know it's in deep dark shade. It just means it's north facing. So you can have hydrangea. I've even got a rose on that side of the house and it's not flowering as well as it would on a south facing, for instance. But they work.
It works.
Yeah. So my first one would be hydrangea petiolaris, which is a climbing hydrangea and absolutely gorgeous. It can, you know, clothe the wall.
It's going up again. It's going up a little bit higher.
Yeah.
So it's
getting a little bit more light as it goes up.
Better chance of it catching a bit of sun.
Yeah. So that'd be a good one.
Looks
beautiful.
So nice.
Yeah. It'd be gorgeous.
So can we talk about what you do, Trevor, if you have just a patio out the back?
Just a patio, you know, there's, and it's a real opportunity. In certain gardens, you have certain soil types. But if you are bringing pots into your garden,
great scope.
Yeah, you can give that plant the specific type soil and feeding that it needs. Where in a garden that's standard garden, we say it's a little bit more challenging. So plenty of pots, and you can have. There's a huge variety of plants that you can have in pots.
And a little drip watering system. I keep kind of plugging that one. But, you know, you want to go away for a couple of weeks in the summer and you don't want to be annoying the neighbours coming in water. So there is a very, you know, easy connection that you can get. Put it on an outdoor tap and then run they're like little tubes that go into each pot and it comes on at 6 o'clock in the morning, or you can put it on for timing. And it looks after those pots.
Yeah,
so ideal.
Yeah. Challenge
ideal.
Would be watering the pots, you know. But,
What about water features then in general?
We see them a lot more now. People, even small old Belfast sinks or buckets, and you know, you don't necessarily have to have a pump in there.
There's solar pumps.
Yeah. You can have a small enough one. You can have the plants that are going to keep that water in good condition. And you know, pollinators. You'd be surprised at nighttime the amount of insects that are flying around.
Just
the garden.
In a very small water feature, you get a huge amount of insects.
So you can get any sort of a a bucket or a sink and put that solar pump into it and create a water feature. Yeah. So you can do that really cheaply.
Very, very cheaply. Very, very easily. Mm.
And people are asking you for plants that attract and features that attract pollinators now,
aren't
they?
More pollinators, yes. Mm. So there's a raised awareness of the importance of pollinators and
that's
plants
good to hear,
that are
isn't it?
Them in. Yeah, it's brilliant. Yeah.
Anytime I put pots outside, says Trina in Cork, when I lift them, there's a huge amount of crawlers. What can I do to stop this? That's okay, though,
that's
isn't
okay.
it?
Yeah, I think
you
so.
Need
yeah,
those
yeah.
fellas need a little place to hide from the sunshine during the day.
You're doing a good job. You know, things are working if they're there. If they're not there, you'd be asking questions. Yeah.
Now, there are shrubs coming into my garden on a large scale at different levels. How do I solve this without falling out with my neighbour?
Embrace it, I think. Is it?
There are, say again,
shrubs.
There are
shrubs like growing into the garden on a large scale at different levels. Okay. So it's obviously causing an annoyance here.
You can cut away whatever is overhanging into your garden. That's it. The deal.
Yeah.
But don't square it off too much, because it looks like then it's a hedge. You know, if you've got some really nice trees overhanging your garden or some decent flowering shrubs, you know, pick and choose which ones you want to cut back. Obviously, you want it flowering at a certain time of the year. So have that little bit of borrowed scenery when you want it. And then you can cut it back after it finishes flowering, cut it back. But you can cut any overhanging branches that are coming into your garden.
See, that person might just want really neat, clean
lines.
That's fine.
That's okay, But sometimes that shape doesn't suit that particular, but it doesn't matter, it's on their side anyway. So yeah, you can absolutely take it back. Mm. But I would suggest the best time to do that is after it finishes flowering.
After it finishes flowering. Yeah.
Okay, so leave it, put up with it for a while
and then cut back what's on your side. Yeah.
Mary Staunton, thank you very much
You're
for
very
coming
welcome.
In. And Trevor Kinsler, nice
you.
To meet you. Thank you very much. Garden designer. We'll take a break back after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.